All right, well, welcome back to One-on-One with Bailey Perkins, or I'm your host, Bailey Perkins, rather, I should say. And today we have our special guest is Matt Springler. Is that okay, Matt Springler? It's really hard to pronounce last name. It's spelled even different. I guess we can start off right off the bat with who are you and what do you do for DMACC or with DMACC?
Oh, very good question, Bailey. Yes, I am Matt Springler. I'm an academic advisor here on the DMACC campus. Anybody out there listening who's been through one of my orientations has already probably heard this, but basically as an academic advisor, I am a park ranger for higher ed. It is my job to know where the trails through DMACC go. It's my job to know where the bears live and warn you away from them. If you get lost out there in the academic backcountry for whatever reason, you know, if you're not able to complete your classes the way you want, if you're having any sort of issues, I'm going to be part of the rescue party that comes looking for you. As a park ranger, there are some things I also don't do. I'm not going to be starting your fire for you. I'm not going to be pitching your tent. I very much subscribe to the idea that I am also a teacher in the same way that your classroom instructors are, so I'm not actually going to do much for you. I'm going to teach you how to do things for yourself. In a practical sense, that means talking about what classes should I take, what academic program should I be in, how can DMACC help me do a good job, because basically, I'm here to encourage you to give us your best work, whatever that may be. And so if anything happens that is causing you to do less than your best work, your taxes are paying me to be here helping you fix it.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that's the gig.
Sounds like an enormous job to tackle. You're just for Ankeny campus then, correct?
Yes, I'm just an Ankeny campus advisor. We have currently 10 full-time advisors and another 5 part-timers who are serving the approximately 9,000 students here.
Yeah, that's... I can hardly handle the 10 that I have to... I'm in charge of often, so... What is your favorite job? You sound like you really love your job, which is a good
thing.
I don't want somebody that hates their job advising me, because that's going to lead me to not enjoy the college I'm at. So what is your favorite aspect of the job? What do you think about when you wake up in the morning and you're like, yes, I can't wait to go see these students?
That's a very good question. I think it might be the puzzle-solving aspect of it. Higher education, I mean... Structurally, institutionally, although DMACC is only about 50 years old, this thing that we are doing is more than 1,000 years old. And we have a lot of that old DNA. So we do and don't do a lot of things and never bother explaining them. And if you aren't already working in higher ed, if you're not somebody like me who honestly enjoyed school and then got a career in school later on, a lot of the stuff we do is baffling and weird. And the thing I enjoy the most is working with a student to say either, oh, this isn't baffling and weird, you just need to look at it differently, or... you're right. That is baffling and weird, and getting out the metaphorical machete and helping them cut through it.
Right, as that park ranger, you have to have a machete.
Yes, exactly. But what I want to emphasize, in case my boss listens to this, it is a metaphorical machete, although I do have a Swiss Army knife.
You mentioned that the institution's been around for 1,000 years, and you have the idea of this college. Obviously, you've not been around for all 1,000 years of that. How long have you been here at DMACC, and where were you at before that, this was your first gig?
No, very, very good question. It is not my first gig. I have been with DMACC since May of 2015. My wife will not let me forget this because I actually started here on her birthday, and she was elsewhere at the time. So I've been here for closing in on 3 years now as an academic advisor the whole time. Prior to that, I spent approximately a decade at Hawkeye Community College in Waterloo here in Iowa. And there I had been an academic advisor. And before I did that, I was a financial aid advisor. I was their scholarship guy. And before that, I was actually a secretary. I was the person sitting at the desk, taking the phone calls, arranging things for the boss, so on and so forth, fixing the copier, because apparently no college instructor in the world knows how to fix a copier.
I think that's a no teacher thing.
We had a lot of brisk discussions about it. So yeah, for most of the last 15 years, I have been working in higher ed. And prior to that, I did all kinds of stuff. I worked in television for a while. I was a video game designer, believe it or don't. I worked for newspapers myself. So,
what games did you design? That's something that I'm
nothing you've ever heard of. That's one of the sad truths of working in that industry is it's kind of like working in movies. A lot of the things you work on will never see the light of day. They will fall apart, or the funding will vanish, or in the case of both the games I worked on, the publishers just elected not to release them because they weren't what they wanted to put in the market. It was honestly really long hours, really low pay, and not much of a chance of your cool ideas becoming reality. So, you know, having worked in my dream career for a couple of years, I decided to get a better dream and I moved on. You know, it's an area where you have to stay on top of an awful lot of information. Most of the people I know who did stay in the game industry, they changed jobs and employers once every year or two. That's just the expectation there. And frankly, I was looking for more stability. Higher ed's 1,000 years old, so there you go.
Right. Do you have a maybe funny story you'd like to share with our listeners about your first year, or
a good question. I have to be a little careful what I talk about from an advisor standpoint, because right. a lot of the stuff I do with students can't be shared. But within my first month working as a secretary, this was at Hawkeye College, a couple of the faculty members came into the office and said, "Matt, we have a bat in our classroom," and then just stood there staring at me like I would know what to do about this. Because when you are the secretary, everybody who has a problem they can't solve goes to you and expects you to solve it. So hat tip to all my secretaries out there. Y'all are doing important work. So I went and got a rolled-up magazine and one of those blue recycling bins, and I just went off and I scoured their classroom until I found the bat just clinging to the wall, hurting nobody. And then I just sort of brushed it carefully off into the recycling bin. You want to be careful with bats because of rabies. And then I went to, you know, walk outside and get rid of the bat, and I told them, "Oh, it's all good." And then I looked down and the bat was gone.
Oh.
I never told them this, but yes, it just completely vanished. So I hope that all worked out.
I hope that bat got to freedom. Someone
yes.
else didn't find him. And
indeed.
So what advice would you give to first-year DMAC students or returning students even?
That is a very good question. That gets right to the heart of what it is that I do here and why. The single biggest thing students have problems with, I think, the single biggest thing that I hope that your listeners learn is this. What's going to trip you up in college, it's not going to be that you're dumb. It's not going to be that you're not trying. It's probably not that you're in the wrong program or have a bad professor or whatever. The thing that you are most likely to have a struggle with is that you have other stuff going on than school. If you're an average DMAC student, you're working. I'm guessing you listening to this right now, you have a job. Statistically, you are working on average 25 to 32 hours a week at your job. This is a problem if you plan on being a full-time college student. The single most important thing that I wish students understood is it's okay to go slower. It's okay to take your time, especially in your first semester, your first year. It's okay to not be a full-time college student. It's okay to not finish here in 2 years. Frankly, if you are doing anything other than college, if you do have a job that you need to hold down, if you do have family obligations, if you do have other serious commitments, you can take longer, and it's okay. A lot of people seem to think that they have to do community college in 2 years. Nobody does. And I see a lot of students end up harming their futures by trying to rush through this when they should have calmed down, taken a breath, and just taken their time to get it right. Nobody cares how fast you go. All we care about is how good your work is. So whatever you got to do to get A's and B's, that's what we should do.
In the realm of your job, what? Mm-hmm. Who are you? What do you do for fun? Do you travel? Do you like to play board games? What is it that makes you outside the realm of advising?
A very fair question. It's funny that you mentioned board games. That actually is a part of my background, having roots in game design at some point. I do play a lot of games. Nothing all that recent. I'm kind of a technology skeptic, and by kind of, I mean enormously a technology skeptic. But, I enjoy board games. They're a good way to have, you know, fun indoors, not messing up your knees like athletes have to. I read a ton. One of my other things is I'm, unlike most of the advisors here, I don't come at this from a background of, a background of student services and going to grad school for that. I'm a historian. So I read a ton of stuff. I spent my whole weekend, for example, just absolutely mesmerized by a book about former Vice President Dick Cheney. It was the best book. Oh my gosh, I couldn't tear myself away. So I would hesitate to call myself a geek, but my wife would not. I'm totally a geek. I enjoy, you know, all that kind of stuff.
That is literally, there's a lot of pubs I found and coffee shops that are starting to shift toward bring your friends, come drink and play board games, or come sit down, have a nice cup of coffee and play board games. I think we're seeing a resurgence in that aspect. I personally love board games. I was part of the team that took charge on the board game spread we did in the paper last semester. I was like, let's do this. It's going to be the best thing ever. I love Catan. I love Sorry. I love all these different games. Let's talk about all of them. It's the best. And it's like, it's a healthy way to let your competitiveness out, I think, rather than being on the field, especially people that can't be out on the field because of various reasons.
Oh, absolutely.
I for one, don't like organized sports a lot, so I don't ever really get out, but I can get my competitive outlet out with these board games, because we, my friend group and I, cannot play Catan for more than probably 2 hours at a time, because we get very competitive. It does not end well for anybody, and Monopoly is even worse. I refuse to play it with my friends. When my mom wants to play it, I'm like, maybe.
Most of the serious game people I know don't play Monopoly unless somebody's mom forces them to, yes. So I totally sympathize. I mean, I did, you know, I played some tennis. I was a fencer in college. I don't mind solo athletics, but I guess, right, I'm not good at team stuff. So, yeah, board games work well. Board games work well there. And also, as noted, you don't have to be out in the rain. So, total plus. You know, when I was that age, when I was in marching band, yeah, rain, snow, whatever, it was not an issue. As long as nobody fell over from heat stroke, we'd keep going.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
Music's different to me. That's, oh. And I guess that's another thing for me. I enjoy music tremendously.
Marching band is a field that I was in band for a little bit. I played clarinet, and then I took a brief hiatus between my 8th grade and 9th grade year, and then I picked up the tuba. And my school had never had more than one tuba player. Mm-hmm. The year I signed up, there was two. And if you were in band, you had to be in marching band because it was a small school.
Right. I went to a big school and it was, yes, the same, so I get that.
I did not get the sousaphone. My director was like, you get a carrier tuba. And I was like, dropping band. Never mind.
I think that was probably wise. Having done a lot of bands over the years, I will say you don't want too many tuba players gathering together anyway, because something will happen. The low brass cannot be trusted, ladies and gentlemen.
No, we really can't, now that I think back on that. What is your... Coming back to DMACC, what is your favorite part about DMACC? What do you walk around campus seeing, like, this is the great, this is what keeps me going outside of the advisor role?
Oh, there are, as you can imagine, there are all kinds of things, or else I wouldn't keep coming back. I mean, some of it are the same sorts of things you'll find generally in any higher education context. Most of us who do this kind of thing for a living, like I said before, we are the people who really like school. We are the people who enjoy being here. We enjoy the environment. More than one person that I know, actually including me, has gone back to graduate school as an adult just because they could. So there's that. It's just, I like being around schools. I like the environment of learning. I like the fact that education helps people figure out who they are and then change who they are. I think that's really cool. I am, for a historian, I'm really not that concerned with the past. It's gone. We can't get it back one way or the other. I'm more interested in your future and where you are going specifically. DMACC, I gotta say, has probably the best food court of any community college in the state. So, you know, that's pretty awesome.
Well, I was, even as small and meager as it looks, I think that's better than any community college. I'm not...
No, it absolutely is.
I'm not toward that many community colleges. I'm from West Burlington, which is the home of Southeastern Community College. So I'm familiar with that place as far as it goes. When I was in high school, I've not lived there for years, so I don't know what it is currently, but I don't believe they had a food court. I think they had vending machines with your usual junk food of Reese's Pieces and Doritos.
That is pretty typical.
Yeah.
Not knocking our rivals, but clearly DMACC is better, and
yes,
you should go here.
No, I definitely think that a big part of my decision coming to DMACC was that lowest tuition in the state as far as community colleges go, how big you were, and just how when I took my tour, I just loved it. The person giving me my tour was really awesome. She was really sweet, and just walking around, I could see that it was a place I wanted to be. And when I came to DMACC, Building 5 wasn't even ready yet. So you had this giant eyesore in the middle of your campus, and I still came here, and I still fell in love with it. Hit the fence up, and it was just like, what's over there? And like, well, it's this really cool thing. You'll be here after you graduate. But I took a semester off, so I'm here still.
Perfect.
Which is fine.
Perfect. No, and you touched on a thing that I think also is something that I like. And this does not play out well for everybody, but I'm a city kid, always have been. So, you know, Des Moines great. I very much enjoy living in a place the size of Des Moines. I like the size of the Ankeny campus. I like that there are so many students, so many things going on, so many different stories being told. I work very well in that environment. I like having a lot of things happening, and a bigger campus will do that.
For the diversity that we have here.
Yes, yes, exactly.
I love it. There's Anthony, who's our photo editor. And if you've seen the papers, there's a big spread of all the amazing pictures he's done. He started a Get to Know DMACC. I forget what the actual headlines we came up for, but he would go around and just take pictures of really interesting people and kind of get to know their story. And it was just really cool to see the diversity we had between our students and where they'd come from and how they got to where they are now.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the few... I guess I wouldn't say I'm disappointed in this, but it surprises me that DMACC students have not yet put together any sort of, say, multicultural student association or something like that. That would be cool.
Maybe even a diversity council.
Absolutely.
And maybe they could help and collaborate with the diversity council we have of teachers, the diversity board that sets up diversity. We can have a student-faculty collaboration there. I think that'd be something really awesome to see. We'll have to throw that idea over to Erin at SAC and see what she can do.
No, absolutely. That. Generally, these things are best when they come from the students. So, yeah.
Awesome. What is, getting a little more serious here for a moment, there exists in this country that I found an amazing stigma against community colleges, and they're less than, or that's where your average Joe goes, and it doesn't take a lot of, you know, smarts to come here. What would you have to say about that, and how do you try to combat that, for lack of a better word, when students come in?
That's a very good question, and that is definitely an issue that America's community colleges do face. Our best students are as good as anybody's best students. I like to tell the story of another Hawkeye Community College story. They were just up the road from the University of Northern Iowa. And UNI has a very good math department. It's a very good math department. And because this is how professors are, every year UNI's math department used to have what they called a calculus bee, where everybody would get together and teams from different schools would compete to try to solve very difficult math problems. And they ended up canceling the Calculus B after Hawkeye's calculus team, composed of people who were freshman and sophomore level, won it 2 years running. So I think community colleges have an unfair stigma. There's a whole lot of elitism going on there. Community colleges are literally open to anybody. So, you know, you don't have the barrier of test scores, which I am for, but a lot of people like to look at the ACT scores or whatever and think that this 1-2-digit number is somehow a measurement of a person's worth. It's not, folks. Get over yourselves. Community colleges also do tend to be more diverse on almost every level. There's more racial diversity. There's more diversity in terms of sexual identity. There's certainly more age and economic diversity. And this makes some people, especially more traditional people, uncomfortable, which is just too bad. Community colleges are the future, and this is where the future is happening. So I don't know what you can necessarily do to combat this stigma without a complete overthrow of many fundamental American social systems, which is a little bit beyond the podcast's reach.
Right.
But it's a legit thing. If you are here and if you're doing your best work, you are awesome. Keep doing it and let us know how we can help you. Not to advertise myself, but, you know, y'all asking for help is my job security, so please do.
Do you think that it's a problem of lack of education on that front? Because I was recently at the, I think it's IACCT, what the lettering is on that, but that's where the community colleges from Iowa get together and have this kind of conference downtown. And one of their leader of it this year told us that we are the students that are more likely to stay in Iowa. And for every, like, dollar invest, like, they're, the investment of every dollar that goes toward community colleges, like, is increased by three because we stay, and we bring jobs to the market because we get trained to do these jobs here. So we look for jobs here first. So, like, there'd be people in our trade schools and stuff like that.
Yeah, that is very much the case. The statistic that I've seen a couple statistics going around saying that anywhere from 90% to 95% of DMAT graduates plan on staying in central Iowa. Now, as a former reporter myself, I never trust a statistic, and I haven't seen the source of it, but it is the case that a lot of the students that I've worked with over the last however many years it's been, they want to stay near their home communities. This is home. This is where their families are. These are where the jobs are that they're interested in. This is where the support system is. That's totally legitimate, and I think that is a very good argument that community colleges really are more directly supporting the areas around them. That's the whole community part of a community college. And that's the thing DMAC tries to be, is very responsive to the needs of our 22-county area. What are folks looking for? What do employers need? What educational gaps need to be filled? That's where we come in, doing that.
Right. And I think that, I mean, growing up, my mom went back to college. She went back to a community college. So I can see how those jobs and how these community colleges are necessary for this place. I mean, I was born into a middle-class family, so college was always an option for me. But there's some people out there that don't think they can go to college. And I think that DMAC provides that route to college. They can prove them. This is like a proving ground where they can prove it to not only themselves and their family members, but they can get those grades that they know that they can get, and they get A's and B's, and they can prove to these quote-unquote elitist colleges that, hey, I do matter. I'm going to come, and I'm going to shake things up because I'm going to show you what you're missing out on, essentially, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. Students who are planning on transferring on, and that's about half of the DMAC Ankeny population, are people going on to another college. Statistics show that they are actually, if they complete their associate's degree here, they are more likely to graduate from the next school than people who started and spent their whole time at the next school. Our graduates simply do better than their peers from the other schools do. And that's true of community colleges largely across the state and, as far as I know, the nation. And the students who are not planning on transferring, the ones who are learning, you know, going into career programs, technical programs, the ones who are learning skilled or useful trades, those programs largely exist because the community needs them to exist. So, yeah, I think we do important work, and I like being a small part of that.
Awesome. Well, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
A lot. You have a very busy advising schedule with only 13 or so of you and 9,000 students to work with.
It's a living.
Right. So was there any parting advice you'd like to just give anybody, a blanket statement kind of for anybody listening, not just necessarily a DMAC student?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say, I guess this goes to DMAC students and potential DMAC students. College, whether it's DMAC or anything else, college is kind of weird. It was designed to be different from the world that you know. College fundamentally was built to be a nerd utopia. And certainly lots of other people do very well here, but college has its own strange rules. And if you just stick with it and are willing to learn the rules and ask for help, you can do this. You can totally get this done, whatever this is for you. And if you want some assistance getting this done and you want to make sure that I can keep paying my rent, come ask the advisors in Building One for help doing it.
Awesome. Thank you again.
Absolutely.
So just a brief plug for the play here. Mauritius opens March 2nd, and it's going to be here in Building 5 in the Black Box Theater. So look for our posters around campus, and we'll have an ad, I believe, in the paper, or not an ad necessarily, a story, my apologies, in the paper coming up, and it'll launch in the next week or two before we open. So come out and see us. It is an R-rated show for strong language, so just be prepared for that when making your reservations.